now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to Bread of His Presence. So glad you could tune in today for another study of the Word of God together, one that I hope will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. We're going to be finishing our series on the story of Noah today, taking a look at a very powerful event that happens immediately after the Great Flood. Noah, his family, and all the animals have now left the ark. And it tells us in Genesis 8 that Noah builds an altar to God, and he sacrifices to God in absolute thanksgiving for God's having delivered them from the flood. And then it gives us God's response to Noah's sacrifice. It says, "And Yahweh smelled a soothing aroma. Then Yahweh said in his heart, 'I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease.'" Now, after this, God gives Noah and his sons the command to be fruitful and multiply. Then he gives them an explanation of how they are now allowed to eat meat. And then he also gives them the impetus to treat life as sacred, especially human life. But then God comes back to his own commitment to never again destroy every living thing as he had done. And it's at this point that God does something truly remarkable. He makes a kind of promise that was very well known during that time and afterwards, and which was absolutely foundational to how ancient peoples lived. And that promise was called a covenant. Now, I need to explain covenant because it's a concept that sadly has become very foreign to our way of living today. It seems that everywhere we look, people are breaking their promises. The business world seems to have made it an art to get out of contracts. And that's truly sad. But that's not how things were in the ancient world. Everything about your character, everything about your integrity hinged on whether or not you kept your covenant. These promises were absolutely foundational to all society because in order to do life, you had to know that promises would be kept. Now, we do have some picture of this nowadays in what is left of the Christian view of marriage. But sadly, some of that is even fading away because people make promises to one another and to God, but end up keeping them only if both husband and wife are happy to do so. But that's not how things were in the ancient world. Because in that world, your integrity, your reputation, all of who you are would go out the drain immediately if you were to break your covenant. Your life might even be forfeit. Now, in the ancient world, you had all kinds of covenants. They stood between people, between cities, between families, even entire nations. You had treaties, you had business contracts, you had marriage covenants, you had friendship covenants. And when a new king would come into power, he would make a covenant with those under him, describing what they needed to do for him and what he would do for them. And that covenant would, in effect, become the constitution of that nation. Now, most of these covenants would have some kind of an out clause in case one or both parties broke the covenant in some way. However, God's covenant with Noah and the earth wasn't like that. It was unilateral It was unconditional and it was inviolable. It didn't have an out clause. You see, that's because God makes this covenant based on his own character. And because his own character is perfect, he keeps those covenants. Now, if you were to comb through the Old Testament, you'd find that one of the chief character traits of God that is stressed over and over again is his faithfulness. You know, I think we always think that love is the dominant theme in Scripture, but it is God's faithfulness that is foundational to that love, because you can't love somebody fully that you don't trust. And that's why in the Bible, you can never really separate faithfulness from love. The two go hand in hand. And the faithfulness that God shows is inextricably linked with the fact that God keeps the covenants that he makes. And so when we read passages about God's faithfulness, we see that he is faithful because he keeps covenant. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "You shall know therefore that Yahweh your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Nehemiah 1:5 says, "I said, I beseech you, O Yahweh, the God of heaven, the great and fearsome God who keeps the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments." Daniel 9:4, "And I prayed to Yahweh my God, and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments." And so we see in these passages just how much God's faithfulness is intertwined with his keeping the covenants that he makes with mankind. And you know, there are 7 of these covenants. There's the Adamic covenant with Adam and Eve, the Noahic covenant with Noah and the world, the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham, the Mosaic covenant with the Israelites, the priestly covenant with the descendants of Aaron, the Davidic covenant with King David, and then, of course, we have the New Covenant, which, of course, is a covenant of grace and salvation offered to mankind in and through Jesus Christ, in whom we find forgiveness for our sins and a restoration in our relationship with God. And here in the Noahic covenant, we read in verse 8 and following, "Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And this is, of course, a repetition and clarification of the promise that God made back in chapter 8. Now, to understand why God makes this covenant with Noah, we have to understand that Noah, prior to this, likely had no experience whatsoever of rain, because there was no rain before the flood. Prior to the flood, Earth was surrounded by kind of this large canopy of water that gave the whole planet a uniform semi-tropical climate. And what this canopy did was it blocked the harmful ultraviolet rays of the sun, which contributed to very long lifespans of both men, but also likely of the animals as well. However, when the flood came, as the fountains of the great deep burst forth, likely due to extreme volcanic activity, ash, gas, other materials went up into our atmosphere and broke up the water canopy. And the water came down for the first time in the form of rain, while at the same time you had these vast reservoirs of water under the Earth's crust break forth. And so all of these things coming together set in motion the hydrological cycle that we have today, in which water evaporates from the ocean, rises into the clouds, travels across the land, falls as precipitation, and then flows into streams, merges into rivers, and eventually returns to the sea. That is how the hydrological cycle operates. And so rain is going to become a very common and necessary thing. But Noah doesn't know this or understand it. Now for us, I mean, rain is no big deal, especially for us here in the Seattle area. Right now it's pretty dry. I think we would all appreciate some more of it. But an enduring drizzle is pretty much par for the course around here. But one author I was reading just recently made the point that if you said to Noah, say, Noah, what do you think of rain? That question alone would make his heart stop. He would say, you know, I've only ever seen it once, and I didn't like it. The one time it rained, it meant that I wound up in a boat for over a year with my family and a bunch of smelly animals. You don't want any rain. Plus, everybody on the planet died. And all the animals. I mean, rain is very bad. You see, his experience of rain was very severe. He's thinking, well, I'm 600 years old. And I've only seen it once, and it is devastating. First thing that happens is the earth starts to crack and explode. Volcanic eruptions happen everywhere, throwing material into the sky. Then deluge comes down along with subterranean reservoirs just gushing up, totally flooding the ground. Great caverns are formed in the earth and the water rushes into them. Mountains are pushed up to the very high peaks. The temperatures change. Everything is different. Death and destruction are everywhere. No, I'm sorry. I really, really, really don't like rain. Now, in light of this, what might have Noah done if he suddenly, unwarned, started feeling drops of water again on his head? I tell you what he would have done. He would have grabbed his wife, his entire family, and immediately went back on board that ark. And so God gives this covenant as a means of freeing him, freeing his family and all mankind from the anxiety that rain and changing weather might produce. He wants Noah to know that rain is now going to be a normal part of life, but he doesn't have to be afraid. And so to give Noah and his family further encouragement, God gives them a very special sign. It says in verse 12 and following, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant, which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." You know what's so interesting to me? The Hebrew word that's here translated rainbow is kesheth. And it's a feminine noun meaning what? Bow. And no, not a bow that you put on a gift or a package. No, a warrior's bow. And so God is saying, while before I set myself against the earth in judgment, basically with my bow, I now am hanging my bow of judgment. And so in light of that, Noah and his family are able to leave the ark in peace. It says in verse 18 and following, "Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated." And so we see that they obeyed God's command to be fruitful and multiply. Now, in all of this, we see demonstrated time and time again the enduring faithfulness of God. And I want to tell you, God is still faithful. His promises still stand. And so my encouragement to you today is to allow yourself to be encouraged by the promises of God. But also, let them stand as models for how you and I, as husbands, as wives, fathers, mothers, children, how we are also to live faithfully to God and also with one another. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.